gospel we have today, 6 days before Pesach, is the beginning of our Holy Week, you see. The first reading, as I think I mentioned before, is the first of what are called the servant psalms. You can isolate these passages from Isaiah. There are four of them. We talk about this mysterious servant and his role in reconciling all the people back to God, because God chose him to do that, and he took upon himself the burden of that and did it. Whether the songs were ever separate and incorporated into Isaiah, or whether they've just, we can see them embedded where they are in the text, it's debatable, but it doesn't make any difference for what we're doing and what the church does during Holy Week. So we have one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, and then we have the fourth and most dramatic on Friday. Because they are a way of understanding this whole rhythm of the plan of the Father for our salvation. And it's founded on intimacy. The intimacy between God and this servant. Now, when he arrives, he's not only intimate, he's one with the Father. But this text, if we see it with the eyes of faith, we see this this mystery of the chosen one. And chosen to take upon himself all the burden of the sin of the world, and to bring the whole world back to God. Our author is thinking, he's a great mystic, the man who wrote these texts. The Lord instructed him and showed him that yes, he was going to reconcile the whole people back to himself. And it would be because one person would take upon himself the burden of that reconciliation. And that's what these servant songs are. There are more than four. There's a fifth one, for instance, there in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And then you see the other side of this servant song. So here's this oracle of God through the mouth and pen of this mystic. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased. You recognize those words, I'm sure, because that's what the voice of the Father said at our Lord's baptism, right? Here is my Son, the one in whom I am well pleased, upon whom I have put my Spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. Justice. Tzedek. Tzedek means honoring the truth of every relationship. Suppose we had tzedek in this world today. Honor the truth. Parents loving their children and caring for them. Children responding in love. Businessmen dealing honestly with each other. Husbands and wives being faithful to each other. This is all tzedek. But the tzedek that's talked about here is God's fidelity to his promise to provide for our salvation and to give us a life that would last forever, already adumbrated and prophesied by all the great holy people of the Old Covenant. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. In the heart of Israel has always been this sense. What God is doing in their midst is for the whole world. But they envisaged it as the whole world would learn the Torah and come. But then the Torah came. Jesus Christ. Incarnate, the Word of God. And the whole world does come. And what we pray for is that the world will come. Not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Until, that doesn't mean, and now that he does that, he'll be violent. No, until he establishes justice on the earth. And the coastlands will wait for his teaching. We are so hungry for truth. So hungry. What is this all about? Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with his crops, who gives breath to people and spirit. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice, the creator of the world now, see? I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people. And now, who's he talking to? Is he talking to Israel? Is he talking to that one quintessential realization of Israel, this servant? Yes. And who is that? That's Jesus. There is the servant, a light for the nation. Open the eyes of the blind and bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. So already we see this mystery of intimacy, restoration of justice, the bringing of light. You see how the Lord prepared the way? In fact, one we read on Friday, people call it the fifth gospel. Now we have an instruction, a deep one. The church takes John's account of this anointing of our Lord. It's in Mark, it's in Matthew. This woman who loved Jesus poured out this, very expensive and beautiful perfume. To anoint him. To anoint him. Huh? Now, the text says, and probably it's the way she did it, she knew, kind of by the Holy Spirit, that he should be anointed because he is the king. But his kingship is going to take place through suffering. So she anointed him. And when these guys got all upset about it, he said, she's anointing me for the day of my burial, because that's the day that I am king. That's the day that I'm king. Now, John, as you know, they do this. In this story, she anoints his feet, which means she takes care of the body of the Lord. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance. And then the little mean-spirited, well, what about all that money? Jesus' answer is very interesting. He says, first of all, you want to help the poor? Give them your money. Don't worry about what this woman did. You want to help the poor? Write out a check for $5,000. Nothing's stopping you. Okay, take care of the poor. Don't blame her. Anytime you want, you can take care of them. But this is something else. This is preparing my body for burial. Leave her alone. Who is she? She is every real believer. That's why, in memory of her, right? But whenever the gospel is preached, wherever the gospel is preached, until I come back, what she did will be preached. So it must have been quite an act, huh? The depth of it, because what makes a act human is the depth of intensity of it, not the price of the perfume. And wherever the God, and his prophecy is realized this morning. Why does the Lord put it here? At the beginning of Holy Week, well, it's where it belongs, because of this is the timing, John. Because the church is saying, my friends, pour yourself out. Give Jesus everything. He gave you everything. And let it be then a perfume that anoints him, honors him, and fills the world with the perfume. Anoint his feet. You can't anoint his head. He's risen from the dead. He doesn't need to be prepared for burial. Anoint his feet. Pour out yourself for one another, for the poor. Take care of them. Honor Christ. That's the way we begin Holy Week. Seeing this person intimate with God, called by God to be the light of the nations. We'll hear about his suffering now as the week goes on. And then this. You want to observe Holy Week? Pour out your whole life for him. Stop holding stuff back. Pour out your whole life for him. And the whole church will know the difference.